Hello everyone, welcome to Very Very Gaming Show, episode 7?
Yeah, 7.
Episode 7. I'm your host Adrian, and joining me is Maya.
Hey!
We've been gone a while, Maya.
Well, I don't know, we haven't been gone, but we haven't recorded a show in a while.
Yeah,
well, I mean, it's relative to your perspective, I guess.
The last one was in September, I think.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll come back and we're going for a slightly different format this time, I think, because the previous episodes were quite long and time-consuming to make. And are you bored? Am I boring you, Maya?
You're not boring me. It's just, why do you have to explain every little thing? You can just say it's a new format and move on from there.
Noted. It's a new format, and it's just going to be short, and it's just going to be... usually I would fight back, but I'm reluctant. Anyway, so instead of doing what we did before, now it's just experimenting with a new format. So short show, just talking about maybe one, maybe two little topics, and make it, well, we expect, what, 20 minutes?
Well, here's hoping.
Here's hoping, yeah, yeah. I guess the idea...
I wouldn't put it past us to go beyond an hour even with one topic.
True. But the idea, although the in principle, would be to do short episodes more frequently.
Yeah. I think it's more friendly to our, you know, to our generation's short attention span and all that.
Yeah, which I don't really understand. As a podcast addict, I don't really get it, but okay.
I understand totally.
There's been more than one person who suggested that the podcast be shorter. To me, that's just crazy. I think, why can't it be longer? But, okay, fine.
Yeah, but you have to count more people than just your, you know, your family, Adrian.
True, and also I'm not sure I'm normal in that regard.
In any way. Anyway, okay, but yeah. So what's today's topic, Adrian?
Well, actually, I thought that you could tell me, or tell us, Maya, because I'm not 100%.
Well, I thought that the thing that I really wanted to discuss was the recent article, an interview, a very, very long interview with Peter Molyneux by a journalist whose name I cannot remember.
It was on Rock, Paper, Shotgun.
Yes. So. And basically the start of this interview was, are you a pathological liar? Are you a pathological liar, Peter Molyneux?
And it went downhill from there.
Yeah, surprisingly, it all went downhill. And I just thought it would be interesting to have a conversation about it, because I don't know about you, Adrian, but when I was reading this, I was gripped. And it's very rare that something grips me. But I wasn't gripped in
a sense... A piece of gaming journalism.
I wasn't gripped because of the information that was providing about how great things were going or a really interesting game. But by how... I can't believe that something actively made me feel sorry for Peter Molyneux, a man who we, in a previous episode,
took
the piss out of quite a bit.
I was going to say, you can refer back to that. I don't remember, it was the most recent one, I think, wasn't it?
I'm not sure, but it was the one
about... It was in the context of you complaining about Black and White.
Which is probably one of the worst games I've ever played. Okay.
Still in that rant mode then.
Don't get me started. but anyway, I looked this up because for some reason it was trending or something on Twitter or something, I don't know. And you sat down next to me, and I don't think either of us even interrupted each other whilst we were scrolling down this absolutely mammoth
interview.
And I just wanted to talk a bit about that and get your thoughts on it. Basically, because I'm just still, several days later, stunned that a journalist can say that to an elderly man.
Elderly? Ouch.
Well, no, I don't know. I'm trying to paint him as a sympathetic figure. I mean, I don't even know what I can say. Let's just start like this, Adrian. Do you think that Peter Molyneux is a pathological liar?
He has a, everyone knows he's got a kind of reputation for over-promising. The most memorable one, I think, was when he showed Milo for the Xbox 360 with Kinect, where he showed it, Milo's this little boy, shows up on the screen and talks to you, and there was a video that showed this, Milo in the video talking to a sort of 30-year-old woman, and he's like, oh, Janice, you look upset. here, have an apple. And it was all supposed to be how, and Pia Molyneux was talking about how, you know, Milo will respond to your mood. Mm-hmm. He reads your facial expressions.
And let me guess, a holographic apple will come out of the screen and be handed
well,
to Janice.
Well, not quite. It's just that sort of weird first person perspective thing where he just sort of hands it to you and then
nothing happens. I was just joking.
Okay, fine. But yeah, it was really weird. So it was all it was a tech demo, and it was when they announced Kinect, that was how they sort of showed it off. And then nothing ever came of it. I mean, it never came out. There was never a product released that featured Milo. As far as I'm aware, I don't think Peter Molyneux even released a game that used Kinect.
Mm.
But he was brought out as kind of like the spokesperson for it.
Okay, you know, okay.
Respected, independent.
You've made some interesting points, because you're saying that it's part, you know, part of his role as a spokesperson, but also you're kind of saying yes, he is, because because Milo evaporated into thin air. Well, apparently it's just, he hated all our moods and just left the planet.
I mean, come on. I mean, the thing is with that, I mean, it's not just him. It's not that wasn't him in an interview. That was him in. On stage with hundreds of people, that was all planned by Microsoft's PR department and everything like that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I think is, I mean, the context of the interview, I think, is the main thing at issue. I mean, I'm speaking about this very seriously, but one of the things that I think when we read it, what we were talking about is that it's something very different is going on, because obviously the context of the interview is that he set up a Kickstarter to. Create a game.
It's called Goddess or Godess or something.
God, I don't even know how you say it. Every time I say Goddess, I think Goddess, which is not, I don't know, whatever. G-O-D-U-S. And he wanted to make a game without a publisher. Was it about a publisher?
Yeah, I mean, it was all, he wanted it to be entirely Kickstarter funded.
Yes, and he got a lot of money.
With no publisher.
From his fans, a lot of money. And it's basically the ethics of using your fans' money over using money from a company, and that is kind of where things are a little bit get awkward, and why the journalist, even though I think what he did was really, I didn't like what he did. I find it very upsetting that he made me feel sorry for this man who before I just thought, you know, he's a very arrogant man basically.
The interview felt like he was going in with just wanting to be provocative for the sake of it, almost. Even if some of the points are good, I mean, he did bring up some, you know, all these incidents, things to do with Goddess, and he's trying to be the
Jeremy Paxman of games journalism.
On the other hand, to play devil's advocate, at the same time, I could see how if I was a funder, if I'd contributed to Goddess and the Kickstarter campaign, then yeah, I would have had some, you know, tough questions, because the interview brings up all these sort of examples about things that promises that haven't been kept from the whole Kickstarter thing. Having said that, you know, Molyneux did make it clear that they had at least done some of it, but I suppose it was more the time scale and things like that that were in the initial proposal were totally unrealistic. And, you know, the game was planned to be made in, what, 7 months or 9 months or something, and then here it is 3 years later.
And nothing's really happened.
Well, there's a half-finished game has come out, but it's, you know, reportedly about 50% through finished and... People have just sort of been left in the lurch for a very long time.
There are all these
all the other prizes and stuff hasn't materialised, things like that.
There are all these awkward moments in the interview where he sort of calls over, you know, Jane Doe or John Doe or whatever, and he's like, oh yes, tell this interviewer about the game, and then the person then goes on and proceeds
what?
To say,
Mister, I am just taxi driver.
Where it's literally like, I haven't actually looked at that since 2013.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But I the thing that I thought was interesting, and the thing that I kind of accepted what Peter Molyneux was saying for two reasons. One reason is that I think that his whole shtick about you know, I'm a creative, and the thing with creativity is that you can't really work to a deadline, and it's things tend to be late. I mean, you and I were talking about Ocarina of Time and how many times they delayed that, etc., etc.
Yeah, that is a kind of fairly uncommon, I suppose, that something like that would turn out so well, really well. Whereas a lot of games that get delayed several times doesn't tend to work.
Yeah, and on the other hand, I also kind of feel that that he's not really a heavyweight game maker anymore. I mean, he maybe at one point his name had that clout, and he is essentially a publicity. He's a face, and yes, he's had good ideas and he's made good games and all that stuff, but he is a PR guy in a sense. Not proper, but do you know what I mean? Like he kind of fits that box of being Mr. PR. So of course he's a pathological liar. All people that work in publicity are pathological liars.
Yeah.
And the idea of sort of, it's like, it just felt like this journalist was bullying him even when the guy was down. Like, no one really believes him. So, and I understand that it's wrong, but what did you expect? I found the whole thing very strange also just because he kept going on and on about his obsession about God games and the idea that it was going to be unlike God of gods he was talking about with that one kid that won that some competition or something. I don't know.
That was the title.
Some loser. Anyway.
Ouch.
Well, I'm sorry, but like, I don't understand. I mean, the guy is clearly a megalomaniac. Peter Molyneux clearly has issues with his ego. I mean, why is it this constant obsession with let's creating virtual world? I'm making pretentious like hand movements right now, you can't see, but anyway. And like, you know, creating worlds that you can, you know, totally malleable. And Peter Molyneux loves the idea that people are all using his system and being gods when he actually has the crown of gods of gods. Doesn't he? God of gods. And I don't know, it's just, I find it really perturbing. This megalomania. Am I the only one that just thinks it's very strange? And then, again, this reinforces my point that he's kicking some guy who clearly has major, major personality issues. And I love that I'm arguing my point so well. Like, you just seem to have, like, stopped.
Well, because I don't disagree with you, really, on anything that you're saying. It just, I mean, reading that interview, I was, you know, I couldn't help but think back to, you know, Dennis Dyack and his whole kind of air quotes meltdown, you know, with him going on NeoGAF. And there were a few things that he did, but, you know, it ended up appearing that, you know, Dennis Dyack was bigger than his game, bigger than the game that he was.
Who is this Dennis Dyack?
So Dennis Dyack was the head, I think, of Silicon Knights, which was a bit like Peter Molyneux. They stayed independent, actually, but throughout. But they made, originally they did Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver for PS1. Then they worked with Nintendo. They did Eternal Darkness, which is a really good game. Both of those, Soul Reaver and Legacy of Kain, excellent games. And then it was in about 2007 or something when it was their next game. 5 years after the last one. Originally, it was a PS1 game. Then it became a GameCube game, and then finally it became an Xbox 360 game, which was when it was finally released. So it took 3 generations for that game to be released, and it was amongst that amidst that kind of too human hype when it was coming out, and it got some negative press in, you know, people playing it, giving it sort of saying they didn't really like it from what they played. And then Dennis Dyack got really, like, he's complaining about the state of the internet's being the cesspool, and, you know, and the thing about he went on NeoGAF and he started a thread, and it was, are you for or against too human? I need to know. And it just this, exactly like what you're describing with Peter Molyneux, a sort of megalomania where he, I don't know, to be honest, I think part of it is to do with, you know, the games industry, the media, if you like, picking on, because it's just a good story, you know, it's kind of like tabloid press, you know, where with, what was her name? Is it Stella McCartney?
Well, I don't
Heather
know.
Mills?
Maybe, yes.
She had a different surname, I think.
Whatever. She's the one with no foot, to continue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the press just, you know, ganged up on her like crazy for, you know.
Yeah. Or Yoko Ono, that's the classic.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. So I see it as a bit of that, like, media circus. And people, once whoever has pissed off one member of the gaming press, I feel like the rest will just
converge,
pile on,
like,
because
vultures,
it's, yeah, because
picking
it,
the flesh.
Because all of a sudden it become, you know, when people believe that, oh, this guy's gone off the rails, or this guy's acting crazy. I mean, maybe he is acting a bit crazy.
Yeah,
Britney,
but, you
know,
guys,
I mean,
Britney.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he is. You know, again, all these things, but I just don't think
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because,
you know,
I mean,
they don't want to hold off.
They rely on games journalism. They rely on fans and their opinions, but at the same time, they just, you know, as that guy, whatever his name is, Dyer, said, cesspool, you know,
they eat you up and they poisonous, chew you out.
But at the same time, it's a blessing if it goes well. I don't know. That's why I think Nintendo is very lucky, because it's just like, they have one or two big names, but most of the people that work for there are kind of vaguely unknown.
Quite
kind
anonymous.
Of,
yeah,
kind of absolutely. Just getting on with it in their teams. And it's just kind of, and if a game doesn't do well, it kind of dies quietly. And, you know, it just doesn't really go into being publicised or anything like that. They're big enough not to have to go through all that malarkey.
Well, that whole interview got me thinking again about there are pros and cons to having one person be a sort of mouthpiece for a product, for a particular game. And in many ways, there are a lot of advantages to that. Because if a person is charismatic Miyamoto, I was thinking more on the Western side, there's David Jaffe, or David Jaffe, I don't know how you say it. He made God of War, and he made Twisted Metal. You know, we loved that one, Twisted Metal Black, right? That was great. And he's made they made several other games, but again, he became, you know, the sort of figurehead of the studio. And there's also Gabe Newell, who's at Valve, who made the Half-Life series and all this kind of stuff. When it works, I think it works, and I think it's kind of useful because it makes it that much easier than for journalists. I don't know, there's advantages and there's disadvantages, and I think the disadvantages are when those individuals are seen to go off the rails, where the problem is the individual becomes bigger than the game itself. I think you mentioned that you thought one of the reasons you thought the Nintendo was quite a good kind of example was because they had the people who would tend to represent games or represent Nintendo at a kind of press event and things like that tended not to be the director of the game or the developer of the game per se, like the people on the ground, if you like, but tended to be producers and, you know, or Iwata, you know, executives basically. And also actually recently at the last E3 they had people from Treehouse, the localization, so people doing translations, and that kind of meant they could play Japanese games and translate things on the fly.
Yeah, they could just impress the fanboys.
Well, yeah, but also, you know, then they would also, like a producer, they would have knowledge about the game as a whole, not just that little demo, that little piece they're showing. It's that kind of thing, you know, it's getting that balance.
In a sense, what you're saying is that the model now, you know, in a sense you're saying that Peter Molyneux is right, and that, you know, the media, partly, but partly because of the market, creativity from one person or a small independent team is incredibly difficult to kind of make, you know, ends meet on and kind of get the work out there, which I guess is what Kickstarter is for, you idiot Molyneux. Anyway, I don't know, would you agree?
About the difficulty of it.
Yeah, but then again, he did, you know, his interest was in getting it out on iOS, and there was that kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really too up to speed with the details of you know, Goddess itself as a project, and I'm not really interested in it.
Yeah.
But I think it was interesting, you know, like you were saying earlier about the fact that he would, whenever he was asked about something, about sort of the specifics of progress on a certain front, he would, you know, call someone over and be like, you know, hey, how's that going, you know, or just like tell him, when was the last time you did this, this guy is playing it right now as we speak. That's the point where I guess he's trying to sort of step down from that position of just being the sole person in charge, where it's like, actually, there is a team here, and, you know, kind of pulling back a bit, trying to take himself out of the limelight to some extent, which in an interview like this, probably impossible to do when you're being asked that question. In a sense, it's like it's too late. It's too late when the line of questioning is that direct and that harsh and is that directed at him specifically, you know.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm not saying that...
I found it very strange. I think it's strange because I felt the journalists also seemed to slightly be stalking him, because he asked why was he at this particular hotel?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
And there was that weird bit at the end when Peter Molyneux, or in the middle somewhere, where Peter Molyneux said, look, add me as a, you know, add me on your phone so I can find you using Find a Friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that you can see how hard I'm working. And then the journalist seemed to suddenly go, oh, shit, I'm exploding every single social convention I've ever been taught. And he sort of seemed to backpedal a little bit, or quite a lot, and go, oh no, no. I'm not trying to say, you know, I'm not trying to be rude, I'm not trying to stalk you.
I'm not attacking you on a personal level.
Exactly, that's it. Yeah. I just want to know what's going on. I'm not denying that you're a really hard-working individual. I just want to know what's going on. You know, you've done some amazing games in the past. And he even said something about some random charity. Oh, he was helping students in UEL or something. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know what. Yeah, some
university.
Union. Yeah, yeah. Some
are helping them with their video game design.
And it was accusing them, what, you didn't do it.
and then Peter Molyneux explained that, yes, they indeed had. And he said, well, that's great. What about Goddess then? And just, I don't know.
Looking for things, really. Looking for anything to really...
He was just twisting the knife, twisting it.
I mean, that's what... And Peter Molyneux was saying that as well. Like, you're just trying to... If you're trying to take...
Trying to run me out of the
industry.
You're
trying to run me out of the industry, yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's all I really wanted to say about Peter Molyneux, Adrian.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, I think so. That was a little general...
A jibber jabber, as you always say.
General jibber jabber. Sounds good to me. All right, let's end it here then. Wow, feels quick.
You feel light in spirit because it wasn't an hour and a half long.
Let's just take a moment. So how do I end the show anyway? It's been a while. So thanks everyone, and we'll be back in episode eight.
You can just say goodbye now.
Oh, yeah.
Goodbye.
See ya. Weird.
It feels good hiding it.
Feels alright. Do you want to do the next one as well?